Welcome to the Alcohol Tipping Point podcast. I'm your host, Deb Masoner. I'm a registered nurse, health coach, and alcohol-free badass. I have found that there's more than one way to address drinking. If you've ever asked yourself if drinking is taking more than it's giving, or if you've found that you're drinking more than usual, you may have reached your own alcohol tipping point. The Alcohol Tipping Point is a podcast for you to find tips, tools, and thoughts to change your drinking. Whether you're ready to quit forever or a week, this is the place for you. You are not stuck and you can change. Let's get started. Thank you for listening to another one of the Quit Drinking Quickies. I am so excited to share this audio clip. It is from one of our group members. Her name's Sarah Davenport. She's been in Alcoholidays. She joined one of my clubs that I have for after the Alcoholiday, and she's just been so wise and inspirational throughout her journey with drinking and breaking up with drinking and just learning to let go of how she thought it should look like, let go of her imperfections and just have a different way of thinking about drinking and thinking about herself. So I'm honored just to share part of her story. Sometimes in our group, we take turns sharing our drinking journey. So this is from a longer audio of her sharing about her drinking journey. But this part that I've highlighted for you to listen today is so helpful. If you are struggling to be perfect, if you're struggling to change your drinking, if you have things about your past that you have shame and regret about, maybe you had a trauma in your past and you're having a hard time letting that go or even knowing what to do with it, I think hearing Sarah talk about how she learned to love and be compassionate towards herself, even when she wasn't perfect, because nobody's perfect. Even when she realized she had a drinking problem, she was able to really turn it around by joining a group, doing the Alcoholiday, joining our people. But also she was able to change herself once she was able to really start having love for herself. And she shares such a great analogy about using her past, using all the shit from your past, because we all have shit from our past, but turning it into something richer, something better, realizing that it is what makes you who you are. It was just such a powerful, just kind of like a mic drop moment when she shared this analogy. And I asked her if she would be open to sharing it on the podcast, and she said yes. So that's what this audio is a clip of. I think you're going to find it really helpful. And then if you need help with your drinking, changing your drinking, I just want to invite you to the next Alcoholiday. It is a monthly dry group that I host, and it gives you lots of science and compassion-based tools to help you change your drinking, to help you change your thinking about drinking, and just recognizing that you don't have to be perfect. You need a place, you need a safe, shame-free place, non-judgmental, to practice not drinking. And that's what the Alcoholiday is. That's what I want it to be. I want to give you lots of tools so you can practice not drinking. I want to give you lots of support. I want you to know you're not alone. I want you to know that I will be there with you, helping you, rooting you on. So if you want to join the next Alcoholiday, you can go to my website, alcoholtippingpoint.com/alcoholiday, and I'll also put a link in the show notes. But mainly, I really just want you to listen to this, and I hope that it helps you process and release your past and maybe think about it in a whole different way. And I just want to send my thanks and gratitude to Sarah for sharing her story with us. Thanks so much.
The beauty of where I am now is that my whole journey toward alcohol freedom hasn't been only based on me getting alcohol free. It's been based on me finding, learning about myself and loving, like having love for myself, true, real love. And sometimes I reflect, I'm like, damn, did I really have to like become addicted to alcohol in order to like have this self-actualization? Like, that's really sad and it's frustrating, but also that's what it is. It's just like, did I really have to go through all the things that I went through as a kid to be where I am now? I don't know, but it made me who I am. So I accept it. But struggling with that for so long and also feeling like, why am I struggling? Like, I'm smart. You know, thinking of myself so highly, like, I'm so smart. And I think my family did that as well. Like, you're better than that. Like, why are you struggling with it? Like, not wanting to believe I had a problem, but also judging me. And then feeling that way about myself and thinking like, out of all people, I should know better because I've been with my mom on this journey for so long and I've learned so much. I've read so many books, like, but I didn't have my own experience. I didn't have my own journey. So this whole year has been figuring out what works for me. Joining this group was like a rocket ship that set me off because it's like I was alone doing a lot of the self-work, and then to get into a community and realize I wasn't alone, that everybody else feels this way too, and that this is a really common problem. And it doesn't matter how smart I am. It doesn't matter that I'm getting my PhD from Ivy League. Alcohol could care less about that. Addiction could care less about that. Who cares? And it really humbled me too. Because it humbled me and also took away, it's weird. It's like almost, I guess, paradoxical. I don't know how to explain it, but that on one side, it humbled me because it made me realize like, wow, I'm not perfect. Like, I'm not the smartest. Like, I can't overcome everything all the time. Like, I am vulnerable. I am a vulnerable person and everybody is. And I could succumb to anything. It humbled me and it made me realize like I'm not a superwoman, you know. I guess I got that complex in my head because I am so good at school and I am so good at communicating and I am, you know, all these things that I've invested in. I am really good at that. Like I'm the best. Like, I was one of the top students at the biggest university in the country. And I'm very proud of that. But also, that doesn't matter, you know, and that's not my worth. That's not all of me. I'm extremely still proud. But struggling with alcohol made me realize, like, I am worth so much more than just that. My grades, the school that I go to, the level of education that I have doesn't give me worth. It doesn't make me Sarah. Going through this pain and this struggle is what makes me who I am. And or not just going through it, but how I choose to move through hard things is it, that's where, you know, and just existing is my worth as well. That I was born to parents who wanted me, who love me, who still love me with all their flaws. And all the things, they love me, and I'm supposed to be here no matter what, regardless of what I'm doing. I'm worthy to be alive and to have a good life and to have peace, and to be loved and to be thought, to have people be proud of me. I don't have to get the best degree in the world for people to be proud of me and for people to think I'm amazing and to love me, or for me to think that about myself either. And starting to learn that and starting to accept that, yes, I have this vulnerability, I have this issue, and I'm going to have to deal with it, and I'm not alone. Like, it helped me a lot. It just helped me to start to figure out, like, who I am. And for a while, up until really a couple months, I was thinking, like, I just want to get back to myself. And then I realized, I'm not going to get back to myself. I'm new. I'm different. This has changed me so much. And I get to decide. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like more empowered and a little bit more enlightened. It's not a thing of like, I don't want to be like my mom. I don't want to be this way or that way. It's just, how do I exist now? You know? So now, I am doing pretty well with not drinking. I have gone the longest I've ever gone. I don't even actually know the days. I think it's 20 now. And I feel good. And it took me a while. I was slowly tapering back and tapering back. And then finally I was like, I just need to try again to just go fully dry. I have the tools. I'm ready. You know, I kept getting on that 3-day, 4-day loop where I go 3 days without drinking, then drink, and 4 days without drinking, then drink. And I just said, I need to try. So I'm doing it. It's not as hard as it was when I tried to do it last year, because I have the community and I have the tools and I have more experience, more practice. But it is a struggle. My boyfriend did break up with me. but I understand why. Things are getting way better. And for me, they're way better. So it's really sad. It's upsetting for me because I'm like, man, I'm getting better, but the damage is done. And I just totally understand. And luckily, you know, we can be friends and we still have that relationship at the base. You know, we've known each other for our whole lives. But I understand that sometimes when somebody has traumatized you, you need distance for some while. I get it. And so I'm sad, but sadness no longer drives me to drink because it just makes it worse. And I actually feel disgusted by alcohol in this time because I'm sad, because I know it's not going to make me feel better. Not even that first drink is going to make me feel better. I'm just going to wallow in it and I won't be able to process it. And I'll feel, you know, it's just going to add more. So it's kind of unfortunate. It's making it easier to have heartache. But I also feel like, you know, I just have to keep going. And I'm just grateful that I have me now. And I'm grateful that I do have all of this work to be able to process and deal with these hard things. I remember when I first started adding more dry days, it was like I was telling my therapist that I like feeling sad now. You know, I like feeling the hard feelings because it makes me remember I'm alive. Like, I wasn't feeling when I was drinking. And I'm not afraid to cry. I'm not afraid to yell. I'm not afraid to express my feelings, you know? And it was hard for me to do that in a way that felt right when I was drinking. I just, no matter how much I cried, no matter how much I yelled, no matter how much I laughed, I wasn't feeling. And now I'm feeling. And I like it. Even when it's hard, even when it's bad, it's like I just continue to turn to gratitude. Even when I'm anxious, which is like, that's what really drove me to drink is anxiety. I just try to turn to gratitude. Like, it's good that you're feeling this right now, because that means that you can process this. Because if you weren't feeling this, it would just get put off, or it'd get put off till you get blacked out, or, and then it all comes out in a mess, or like, it's good. This is good. Like, you're alive, you're feeling, you're processing. That means work is happening within you. This is an opportunity to be mindful. This is, you know, feelings are an opportunity for me now to live and to grow. Yeah. I mean, that's the gist of my story. I could keep rambling, but I do want to say one more thing though. I like analogies. I love analogies. And something that I was thinking about when I was thinking about what do I say in my story? This analogy was coming up. There are a few that are intermixed, so bear with me. I think I talked a lot about shame, and a friend recently told me that when people see someone that has a bright fire, they want to put it out. They think it's dangerous. Instead of learning how to use fire to direct it, to make life. So in, you know, I'm my PhD is in anthropology, so I'm gonna go the cultural route. In indigenous cultures, a lot of indigenous cultures around the world, fire is used. And even now, even today, fire is used to cleanse. So you have a field or you have a forest that's overgrown with weeds, or the field is you know, no longer contains the nutrients you need to keep growing the crops you want to grow. So you would set a controlled burn. You would set fire to that forest, or you would set fire to that farm. And the plant material, all that material will break down into carbon. Carbon's the building block of life. And you add new nutrients to that soil. So I'm fire. I'm setting fire to my life right now. My life is the garden and I'm setting fire to it. And another analogy that helped me a lot, again, gardening, because I'm a gardener, compost. I have struggled a lot with letting go of the past. That's part of my anxiety, is just letting go of the past, you know, finding a healthy way to process through the past and then letting it go. And something that came to me a few months ago was like, put the past in the compost and make new soil. So when I make the compost, I'm putting in literal shit, horse shit, cow shit, doo-doo. I'm putting in old, nasty scraps, stuff you don't want in your garbage can or in your house because it's going to stink it up, going to fill it up with flies, rotten, decaying things, things that no longer serve you, things that you can no longer eat, things that you can no longer use, things that will make you ill. But I'm putting it into that compost. I'm adding all these other things. I'm processing it. And again, the fire, the heat. When you make compost, you want it to get really hot. It'll get to be like 140 degrees. You want it to cook. And all that heat is life. That's all the microorganisms and everything working and generating heat to break down all the shit, all the old nasty stuff. And then when you're done, you have new soil. We call it black gold, because you can grow anything in that shit. And you're no longer going to see the clumps of horse poop in there, or the banana peels, or the shells of the avocado, or the dead fish carcass. It's all going to be broken down, and it's going to be this rich black soil. And it's going to be what you can use to add to your garden to create more life, new life, stronger life. And that's what I'm doing. I'm putting my past in the compost, and I'm not leaving the compost alone. I have to add more things to it. I have to process that. So I'm learning those ways. It's an analogy. I don't know. It's almost like it, after the thing happens, I realize what I did. So, you know, like the whole process of processing the compost, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just doing it. So I'm still figuring it out, but new stuff is growing in my garden. Seeds that I planted 3 years ago are finally coming up. I'm finally getting food. I'm finally nourishing myself from that. It takes time. And that's the kind of analogy, I guess, that's in my head a lot. And I don't need to be ashamed about my fire. I don't need to have shame. I'm a fire. I'm a light. And I'm learning how to direct that fire. I didn't know how to use it. I didn't realize that I had it. And I hurt people, but now I'm learning. I'm learning how to use my fire. I'm the ray of sunshine that hits the plants. I'm the heat that makes the soil move. I'm the fire that brings new life, you know? And yeah, that's where I'll end. That's me. That's my story. Thank you all so much for listening and giving me the space.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Alcohol Tipping Point podcast. Please share and review the show so you can help other people too. I want you to know I'm always here for you, so please reach out and talk to me on Instagram at Alcohol Tipping Point, and check out my website, alcoholtippingpoint.com, for free resources and help. No matter where you are on your drinking journey, I want to encourage you to just keep practicing, keep going. I promise you are not alone and you are worth it. Every day you practice not drinking is a day you can learn from. I hope you can use these tips we talked about for the rest of your week. And until then, talk to you next time.